540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News, I'm Tim McGuire. Heavy snow throughout the Great Lakes area, especially northwestern New York. Governor Kathy Hochul says Buffalo and the surrounding area will see up to 4 feet of snow.
What we're talking about is a major storm. This is considered an extreme event, an extreme weather event. That means it's dangerous. It also means it's life-threatening.
The most intense snow is expected from tonight through Friday night and Saturday morning. The NFL has moved the Buffalo Bills home game Sunday against Cleveland to Detroit. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi decides against the run for party leadership position in the new Congress.
Pelosi says she remembers her first visit to the House floor when she was six.
Never would I have thought that someday I would go from homemaker to House Speaker.
She was the nation's first female speaker, and after nearly 20 years in Democratic leadership.
For me, the hour's come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus.
As Democrats prepare to be the minority party, Pelosi says she will not run for leadership re-election, but will keep her seat representing San Francisco. Democrats cheered as Pelosi arrived in the chamber before her remarks and lined up one by one to greet her afterward. Sagar Magani, Washington.
House Republicans, who will have a very narrow majority, first order of business appears to be investigating President Biden and his family.
The Bidens flourished and became millionaires by simply offering access to the family. Among the dozens of shell companies the Biden set up, there were millions of dollars of wire transfers, flights on Air Force Two to conduct personal business, and meetings with heads of state, all while Joe Biden was aware of what was happening. All the while, he turned a blind eye.
Kentucky's James Comer is expected to head the oversight committee. The White House will ask the Supreme Court to reinstate President Biden's student loan forgiveness program. This is AP News.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All of this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yeah!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding.
Whoa!
Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With ACEyourRetirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back.
Gnarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The U.S. Labor Department says a Wisconsin company illegally used child workers to clean meat processing plants in Minnesota and Nebraska. A civil complaint filed in federal court in Nebraska says Packers Sanitation Services hired more than 30 teenagers, one as young as 13. Federal labor law bans the use of workers under 18 on killing floors or on mechanized processing equipment. Fans in Milwaukee and Green Bay don't need an Amazon account to watch tonight's Packers game. Thursday night football is streamed on Amazon, but fans in Milwaukee and Green Bay will be able to watch them on local TV channels. Packer fans everywhere else will have to watch the game online. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Daily at therickSmithShow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is The Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Get ready for the fun, the entertainment. Buy popcorn stock. That's the tip for today. Buy popcorn stock. I think everyone in Congress is going to be buying their favorite popcorn stock for the next 2 years because Congress is going to be, so entertaining. Evidently, Hunter Biden or Benghazi has changed its name to Hunter Biden. Because it's all we're going to hear for the next 2 years. You remember the last time? Jim Jordan and company had control while there was a Democratic president. Yeah, it was all about the Benghazi. Now it's going to be all about the Hunter Biden. We're going to hear about laptops. We're going to hear about underwear. We're going to hear about all kinds of stuff. It's going to be fun and going to be entertaining, but it's not going to stop there. It's not going to stop there because evidently, according to reports, Marjorie Trainwreck Greene has... She has secured a promise. Yep, she has secured a promise that House leadership is going to investigate Nancy Pelosi. Yep, they're going to investigate her. They're going to find out her underwear size, too. Yep, we're going to know. Inquiring minds want to know. People like Marjorie Three Names. And are you ready for this? And are you going to pay attention? This is going to be one of those moments where Republicans are going to show us who they are. Now, remember, we had an election, and in the days leading up to the election, it was about the border. It was about recession. Oh, recession. Recession's imminent. Recession. It's crazy. It's going to be a recession. It was about gas prices. It was about crime. Oh, crime. There's crime everywhere. MS-13 around. Was it MS-13? No, MS-13 was the last election. Sorry, we haven't heard about them in a while. Trust me, next election, they'll be back. They're in the quiver. Eventually, they'll get back to them. But crime everywhere. So it was the border. It was recession. It was crime. Tyranny. Yeah, you got to throw that in there. Nuclear war. They threw that in there as well. Now, none of that matters. Now it's Hunter Biden. Now all we care about is Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden. That's all we're going to hear about. We're going to hear about investigations on Joe. We're going to hear investigations about Nancy Pelosi. Again, no solutions to any of the things that they were whining, complaining, and creating. No. And there never are. Understand, there are never any solutions to this stuff. It's all just the dog, the pointer. It's all the dog with the finger. And this is one of those things that gets me frustrated because, on all of these issues, there are real problems. There are real things that have to be addressed. And real things that we most certainly have to look at. Crime, for instance. We were told crime is through the roof. Oh my God, the crime is in every community. Now look, when you look at the actual numbers, overall crime over the decades has been going down on a steady basis. Robberies are way down.
murders have been up since the pandemic. Murders have gone up. And when you look at, again, delve deeper into it. Now, the right wing will tell you, Chicago, it's all Chicago, Chicago. Because there are a lot of people there who, sadly, killing each other. When you look at it, a per capita number, red states, wow, red states. Mm. And it could be the proliferation of guns. Could that be part of, you know, all of, just throwing this out there. You know, the murder rate is up, way up. And, you know, I got to wonder if, you know, all this, hey, everyone's got a good guy with a gun stuff. Because, again, if you look at where these stuffs are happening, and yes, Chicago's got its problems. Major cities have their problems. Cleveland's got its problems. But, again, go back to per capita. Chicago looks safer than a lot of rural areas. But, again, don't look behind the curtain. Don't actually look for solutions. Just point, scream, whine, complain. On the recession front, it was certain, wasn't it? Recession is coming. We're going to have recession. And, well, you know, the day before the election, Goldman Sachs comes out and said, well, maybe not. Maybe a 35% chance of recession, while everyone else was saying it's a certainty, it's going to happen. They're saying, well, you know, maybe not. Because, again, come election time, Republicans need to scare the you-know-what out of people. Because they understand fear works. Fear is a motivator. Fear gets you to the polls. Fear goes, you know, we can't have nice things. We can't have health care for everybody. We can't invest in roads and bridges. We can't invest in education and health care. And we can't do, can't do it. Because we've got those bad. We hear about the border. Oh, the border. It's a crisis. And yet, I was just reading an article from a sheriff down south who's saying, you know, it's overblown. And part of the problem that we were having is that there was a pent up problem for a couple of years. You may remember a couple of years where they tried to seal off the border and you still had all those people building up. You're just kind of waiting to explode without actually solving some of the problems on the other side that, you know, a lot of our business interests create. I look at this and again, you keep coming back and you go, I get you're focused on the problems, but how do we solve them? Come to me with solutions and let's talk about those. Never get those because the right doesn't have any. They know how to create problems, not so good at solving. But I want to hear your thoughts today. Give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. Or you can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. I got Ruby on line one in California. Ruby, what's on your mind?
Hi, Rick. Yeah, first time caller. I loved President Trump's speech. I thought it was real informative. I liked the information he put out there. And
what about it in particular thing, did you like?
Well, I liked when he was bringing up Mexico and how he dealt with Mexico keeping their criminals in their own country. He had to pay them. He agreed to pay them like $700,000, whereas opposed to Biden is paying them like billions to keep their own criminals in their country. I thought that was impressive information.
I think it's kind of crazy.
Well, that was just one thing.
We put out
a lot of information.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ruby. Thanks for the call, though. I don't see that as reality, but we're paying millions for criminals. Beautiful. Thanks, Ruby. See, again, this is the kind of thing that the misinformation that's out there. Because people really believe that we're paying criminals. People really believe that Biden's digging deep into the pockets, into your pockets. And this is where this comes from. Deep into your pockets to transfer your wealth to the criminals. And it's just not happening. I know we love to believe and we love to think that that's, we love when they tell us that, but sorry, Ruby. And thank you for sharing that. Very interesting. We got somebody on line three. We got Alice on line three. How are we doing today, Alice?
Oh, I've had a day of it.
Haven't we all?
I'm telling you, these damn planets. don't even get me started.
Start.
No. I think it is absolutely criminal what the Republican Party and the ultra-right media is doing to our citizens. One of my close friends, and she and her husband are very, very good to my husband and I. I mean, when I didn't have an automobile, she would take me. They took my husband to his doctor's appointment and whatnot. But they have been so brainwashed by the right-wing media and the Republican Party that it is just, it's pathetic.
No, I mean, this is the misinformation machine is enormous. I mean, the last caller just said, we're paying criminals hundreds of millions of dollars. Trump just wanted to pay hundreds of thousands, I think was her statement. Biden wants to pay them millions. And I'm going, I don't want to pay criminals anything. Here's common ground. We don't pay criminals anything. We lock criminals up. I think we can agree on that. But you know, the misinformation machine wants to be, no, Biden's paying them to be criminals. It's insane.
Well, it is. And, you know, the thing is, my whole point is, if your position is so strong and so correct, you don't have to make up things and push lies and propaganda. But that's exactly what the right wing is doing. All the information that they're giving to these people is nothing but lies and total propaganda. There isn't a bit of truth in it. I know it. You know it. And anyone that watches mainstream media knows this. But they're making absolute fools, and that's the word I'm going to use, out of these people, and they're brainwashing them. They don't know up from down. And what these people don't realize is they're being told this nonsense because the right wing has their agenda, and their agenda is, basically, to push the Federalist Society and the right-wing evangelical nonsense on everyone. And the best way to do that is make up lies on everybody else. And I don't understand why they're allowed to do it, because I know during World War I and during World War II that we actually had laws against propaganda and misinformation. What happened to them? Why? That's what we need to do.
Like anything, I think there's a kernel of truth in things that they start with, and they expand them into fanciful areas, and they're just much better at it than anybody else. And sadly, people buy into it. Like, you know, we're paying criminals. I'm still trying to get that through my head that we're paying criminals.
The only criminals we seem to be paying at any point are those that belong to the Republican Party.
There you go.
Donald Trump.
Look at Ohio.
Yes. It's terrible. Yeah, but you have a good evening, Rick.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Alice. Just incredible. But I got to get to this email that I got because, you know, it's one of these things that's quite remarkable to me. You know, someone sent me an email saying, hey, what do you think of this? And it's, you know this person says they're a MAGA supporter. And they said, if you want me to go against Donald Trump, you have to prove to me that Trump didn't actually have anything to do with all of these successes. And they go through some quote-unquote successes. Like one of them, prove that the work Donald Trump did to reduce the red tape to get approval for drilling, the issuance of permits for drilling and exploration on public lands, his encouragement of Keystone and other pipelines and a number of other things that taken together led to a dramatic rise in U.S. domestic oil and gas industry, allowing us to be the world's largest exporter, was never done or was done by somebody other than Trump. And they want me to prove to them that he didn't do those things, that he had nothing to do with it. And the truth is he had something to do with it. The reality is Obama had more to do with it than anybody. The only thing that Trump really did on the permit front for the energy industry was loosening up the coal industry, because natural gas, Obama had already done that. We were drill baby drilling long before Trump took power. I wasn't thrilled with it. But if you remember, the argument was this is what was going to get us off of foreign oil. This is the bridge to the future of renewables. That was the argument back then. I know it's hard to remember. It's hard to go back that far. But Obama was the guy who opened up the fracking. And I know a lot of my lefty friends aren't happy with that, but that's the reality. And that's what killed the coal industry. Now, some regulations also helped, but the coal industry really got strangled because gas came online. It was cheaper, more efficient, all that stuff. And we started moving over our power plants to gas as opposed to coal. And that had a huge problem for the coal industry. And Trump tried to loosen it up. And what ended up happening? We kept blowing up West Virginia and other coal-producing states, doing surface mining, so we could ship that coal over to China. Yeah, hey, nice job. Congratulations. You did something for the coal barons. But to say that he was the brainchild? No. The Republican Party's always been about deregulation. They've always been about business interest over the health and safety of people. Duh, that I don't give Trump any credit for that. So your first point, no, he gets no points for that. The second point they go into is prove that the long, detailed battle to get the House to reduce taxes in 2017 did not involve a lot of work and ideas from Trump. Really? Do I even need to? Really? Do you think Trump had anything to do whatsoever with that tax bill? The answer, no. That's the Republican Party's only, they're a one-trick pony. Tax cuts, that's all they have one hammer. That's it. Everything's a nail. Fix a problem, tax cuts. And for who? The wealthy, for corporations. Not for you, not for me, not for working people. So, sorry, there's another one, just not buying it. The other one, prove that Trump never encouraged nor was active in reducing the regulations that shackled business in the U.S. Yeah, he deregulated. He made silicon dust great again so people can die of silicosis. He made dust exposure limits higher so people can have black lung again. Yeah, he did those things. Congratulations, working people. You are less safe because, well, the Donald deregulated industry. Because, hey, you know what? They're going to police themselves as they have done so wonderfully in the past, which, wait a second, is the reason we have the regulations in the first place. Hold on. Let me think this again. The people killing lack of regulation is probably why we put the regulations into place in the first place, that he now deregulated, and we're probably going to have to learn that lesson over again. Thanks again for deregulation. That's probably going to end up costing people their lives, maybe even you, maybe one of you who voted for Donald Trump. So the idea of tax cuts being his baby, deregulation being his baby, I'm old enough to remember an old guy I played in the movies. Bonzo, what was his name? Ronald Reagan, yeah. I remember that being his mantra, tax cuts and deregulation seemed to be the thing of the past. Not something that Donald Trump invented, kind of like he thought that he invented the term priming the pump. And again, I don't know which pump he wants primed, but it's not the economic one. Because that would have been John Maynard Keynes who came up with that. But never mind, don't facts, I know, don't matter. The other one they came up with, prove the Abrams Accord between Israel and various Arab countries did not involve either Trump himself or his son-in-law, Jared, and not the Jared from Subway. Yeah, they did this. I give them credit. They got Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain to come together and agree on a corporate structure to where they can share money and power with the elites and screw over their citizens. Yeah. You know who it didn't involve, though? Because it was built as a peace accord. It's kind of like if you have a fight with two people in a ring and the referee and one of the fighters sign a peace accord and the other guy in the fight doesn't get the sign and doesn't get any part of it. Palestine was kind of ignored because you don't see them in the Abraham Accord. So, yeah, it did what it was supposed to. It's made economic activity amongst those three entities much easier, much more lucrative for the wealthy. Yes. So congratulations. Did that very, very well. And the other one that I find very interesting, show that the U.S. never achieved impressive economic results in 2019 due to its economic policies. I point back to the tax cuts. The tax cuts that were deficit spending. Now, remember, I'm just a dumb truck driver here. But I'll tell you, if I had a credit card, and that credit card had a $1.9 trillion limit. And my wife and I just went out and had a high old time. And we bought everything that our heart could possibly want. The economy in our house would be really good. Now, somebody's going to have to pay it back. Clearly not us, because we don't have $1.9 trillion. So when they lit up the economy by deficit spending, massive amounts, something conservatives, true conservatives, used to be against. This is what Trump is being given credit for. Now, here's the thing. I am not opposed to deficit spending. Yeah, I'm fiscally conservative as anyone, but I'm not opposed to deficit spending. And this goes back to, and again, this goes back to my college days. Had a professor who explained the difference between good deficit spending and bad deficit spending. What we did during the Trump years, I would argue, bad deficit spending, and here's why. Heavily weighted to the very wealthy, who already had an enormous amount of money and wealth and savings and consuming ability, already had it, didn't need any more. And in fact, that's played out by the fact that what we're seeing all across our economy are big corporations who had those windfalls, those tax breaks from Trump and the Republicans back then, buying all their stocks back. Because they're admitting to us, you know, all the money you gave us back then, we don't know what to do with. We can't invest in new equipment. We can't hire new workers. We can't build new plants. We have no new ideas. The best we can come back with is buying up stock, making ourselves wealthier. That's all we've got. There's nothing else. There's no new investment. There's no new opportunities. There's no new frontier. There's just making us wealthier. So it seems to me a bad idea. Now, there is good deficit spending. The kind where you go, you know, bridge is falling down. We need to get to the other side. Probably should replace that. Good spending. It was explained to me like this. You get laid off from your job. You get a severance package. Or you have a credit card. Good deficit spending is you go out, you get a new suit, get your hair cut, get a resume made, take a class, hone your skills, do something that's going to help you achieve the next situation. Bad deficit spending, vacation, party time at Uncle Bernie's. This is what the Trump years were. We gave $1.9 trillion away, overwhelmingly weighted to the very wealthy. What little did trickle down to the working class is already sunsetted. And we're going to begin paying back because that's how it works. But what they got to do, they got to have these talking points. We deregulated for business because somehow that's going to help working people. How, I'm still not sure, other than shorten your life. We gave massive tax breaks to the wealthy, and that's supposed to trickle down. It doesn't. Not sure how that helps working people's lives. Again, on the energy front, this idea that he single-handedly made us energy independent is just absolutely bonkers. Did they open up Anwar, which nobody drilled in? Yeah. This is a great story. It's a great story. They opened up Anwar. Because that was the, you know, supposedly the driller's wet dream. There's all this oil there. Oh my gosh. So they opened it up for bidding. And exactly one person bid on them, the state of Alaska. Because nobody else was going to bid on it because it's prohibitively expensive to get to. The oil industry doesn't want it. But it was such a fight. And oh, here's the thing. And this is, let me finish with this. We talk about Make America Great. And we've been focused on this Keystone XL pipeline. Because understand, the Keystone pipeline is working. For everybody who goes, oh, Biden's killed the Keystone pipeline. Keystone pipeline is fine. The Keystone pipeline is flowing. It's moving millions of gallons of oil as we speak. The XL pipeline, that little part of it, that's not. But that was going to make Canadian oil great. And then we're going to bring that right through our country to be shipped right overseas and into the international market to be refined somewhere else because we don't have the refining capacity to do it here. Never do. And that is the sad reality of the moment and the place that we're in. So we can give Trump all this credit and he'll take it. Trust me, he will take it. And there's nobody better at taking credit than Donald Trump. even if he doesn't deserve it. So that's my view. I'd love to hear yours. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. You got any questions, comments? I want to hear them. But I got a lot to get to, a lot to talk about. When we come back, our good friend Sarah Burris is going to be here to share some thoughts.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Capitol riot. I'm Tim McGuire with an AP News Minute. Far right-wing Republican House member Lauren Boebert has seen her lead decrease in her tight race for re-election in her Colorado district. The AP's Lisa Dwyer has more.
Republican Representative Lauren Boebert's lead in her Colorado district has shrunk against Democrat Adam Frisch. Boebert is a conservative firebrand who saw her lead fall to about 550 votes as new results were released. It's a race that's being closely watched across the country as Republicans try to bolster their advantage in the U.S. House after clinching a narrow majority Wednesday night. Boebert is a Trump loyalist who gained widespread notoriety and a spot on the so-called MAGA squad with her combative style. The current margin puts the race within the threshold that would trigger a mandatory recount in that district. Boebert had been favored to win re-election in the sprawling 3rd Congressional District after redistricting made the conservative district more Republican.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mattner with your headlines. The Respect for Marriage Act received a 62-37 vote in the Senate Wednesday with support from 12 Republicans, passing the needed 60-vote threshold to move to the floor. President Biden praising the move, urging Congress to quickly send the bill to his desk where he will sign it into law. GOP Senator Ron Johnson opposing the bill, saying the amendment added by Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of colleagues doesn't go far enough to, quote, provide sufficient protection for those with strongly held religious beliefs, unquote. The amendment added language ensuring churches, universities, and other nonprofit religious groups won't suffer repercussions for refusing to recognize or provide services for same-sex marriages. It also makes clear the government isn't required or authorized to recognize polygamous marriages. Polygamy is already illegal in every U.S. state. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Constitutional requirement. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more information, go to ballotpedia.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, President Biden today said, history will note Nancy Pelosi is the most consequential speaker of the House of Representatives, the most consequential in the history of our nation. Maybe she'll be the one I remember. Tip O'Neill, I guess I remember him. I remember how horrible Newt Gingrich was. I remember how bad Tom DeLay was. I remember Denny Hastert was in jail. So those are the speakers that I remember. Yeah. I guess Hastert would be the one that sticks out most in my mind because of his prison term. Kid toucher thing. That kind of sticks out. I think Nancy Pelosi has had quite a historic career, especially the whole glass ceiling thing. First woman thing. We got that out of the way. Now we see where we go from here. But here to share some thoughts on this and all of the other top stories of the day, I've got my favorite reporter in the whole wide world, Sarah Burris. She is the reporter over at Raw Story. RawStory.com is the website. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday indeed. So what do you make of this? The most consequential Speaker of the House in the nation's history.
I think it's either Hastert or DeLay. Did DeLay actually go to prison, or was he just convicted? I don't remember if he ever actually set foot in prison or if he was pardoned in time.
No, he was convicted, and then they went through appeals and all kinds of stuff, and he never actually went to jail.
Yeah, that's a shame.
There's the response.
When I think of a speaker, though, for like a long-time speaker other than Pelosi, I always think of John Boehner because now he's selling weed, and I just think that's hilarious.
I think that is hilarious. A guy who owned a bar and chain smoked, cried all the time, now selling weed. I just think that's brilliant.
Right? And, I don't know a lot of old dudes who retire just to sell weed, but you do you, man.
Yeah, I do. I just know one. That would be the guy from Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, but he's been selling weed the whole time, right? Although he's got, his own brand now is a big deal.
Yeah, it is kind of a big deal.
Willie Nelson has his own brand, and it's strong stuff. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've never done it. I've never smoked pot even once. I never tried it. It's one of those things where, not because I'm a prude, just because I'm one of these obsessive kind of people where if I were to get into it, I would be the best. I would make Tommy Chong look like a piker.
Oh my God, that's amazing. I mean, I it knocks me out every time, so it's the best thing in the world for insomnia. I remember the first time I actually smoked it, I didn't know what to do, like what the etiquette was. So I brought a chocolate cream pie for the people that I was with because I was, you should, if you're going somewhere, somebody's house, you should bring something.
Sure.
So
just good manners.
Right. So I made a chocolate cream pie and.
And what did you do with it?
Actually nobody ate it. And we got stoned and then everybody was like, okay, let's go out. And I was like, I can't leave. This is not acceptable. So basically I just ended up going home and the sheets on my bed felt really amazing.
Don't tell me you left the chocolate cream pie, though.
Oh, hell no.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear, because that's where I would have been, right there.
Yeah.
Pelosi, I got to get there. Some of the Dems are saying, one of the best things that they liked about Pelosi, she knew how to treat an insecure boy like Donald Trump.
That is very true. And, it makes sense because she has, 700 children. Which I think she had all in a 2-year span. I don't know how that's even possible, but I think she defied the laws of nature and started popping out an entire state of children. I think she knew how to handle him because he was basically an immature little child who was incredibly insecure. And she's a little person. She's not really tall. She's very petite. And so she put him in his place. And dynamite comes in small packages, man.
Yeah, yeah. Now, interestingly enough, not many Republicans came to her praise. But some of them, a couple came out and said some nice things.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Joe Wilson, who you might remember from You Lie, the Obama State of the Union speech, He told us that he actually didn't know that this was happening, and that that may be a reason that more Republicans didn't at least come and show some respect. He just happened to be on the floor for the Pledge of Allegiance and then heard that Pelosi was coming to make a speech, and so he stayed. And he was one of four Republicans who were on the House floor, and he said he was glad that he was there because he has a great amount of respect for her and cares about her and her husband. And apparently he and his wife and Pelosi and her husband have traveled Europe and Africa together. And it was just like, wow, who knew, right? Joe Wilson, of all people. But he was just like really, he was really great about it. He was just like, you know, we don't agree on literally anything, but she's a really good person. This is his historic moment and his historic position. And, you know, I respect her and I want to be here for this.
Yeah. How do you get back to that? How do you get back to that? I mean, that's an important kind of moment. How do you get back to that? You know, because I don't think many people are going to hear this story. You know, how do you get back to that in civil society where we can disagree but still think, you know, you're not a monster. I just disagree with you.
Right. It's the little things in life. But here's the thing. Joe Wilson's also a never Trumper. So maybe there's something that happened to him in the world of Republican, never Trump universe where maybe he found Jesus.
Yeah, so now a shakeup in the Democratic leadership. Evidently, Steny Hoyer stepping down as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, which is funny because Hoyer and Pelosi actually served as pages together whenever they were in high school or college, because they both went to the same. They both were from Maryland, and so they served in when they were kids, and
they don't have pages
anymore. Hoyer's down. Well, Denny Hathorn, you know.
Yeah, the bookmark thing. Yeah. Never mind. I'm not telling that bad joke. never mind. But there's going to be kind of a shakeup. And evidently, Jim Clyburn is going to be running as the next assistant Democratic leader is what I'm hearing.
Which would be cool. Clyburn's amazing. He has very good political instincts. I think that's a major thing about this. And one of the reasons I love that she's not actually leaving, but she's just leaving the leadership. I know she's been working with a lot of the younger members, thinking about it in terms of who to elevate and who to train up and everything.
Right, the transition.
So that's been going on for a while. I guess she wanted to leave. She's wanted to leave leadership for a really long time. But then Donald Trump came in, and then all the impeachment, and then dogs and cats were living together. And so she stayed until finally the thing happened with her husband, and I think that was just like, no, I'm done.
Yeah. Now the fun begins because Democrats are going to be in the minority in the House, and they've already said, you know, evidently Benghazi has changed its name to Hunter Biden because that's all we're going to hear for the next. I hope you've got your popcorn stock because popcorn is going to go up because the Republicans have already said, I guess, Hunter Biden, we're going to find out what size underwear he wears. I guess there's a deal with Marjorie Three Names that they're going to investigate Nancy Pelosi. And I guess they're not going to go after Trump's tax returns.
Yeah. So a big piece of this is that the House Committee, is it Oversight and Reform, has been trying to get Trump's taxes for years. 2019 was whenever this all started, and he has blocked them in every possible way. And finally, they went to court this last time, and they were just like, you know, the last place you have to appeal this is the Supreme Court. And so some of his taxes have been turned over. Some of the information from the Trump org has been turned over. But it's a project that the Republicans have said they're not interested in, so they're not going to be doing any of it.
Oh, I wonder why they wouldn't be interested in it.
Right?
I wonder why the guy that announced he's running for president is basically got them by the short hairs. I wonder why they wouldn't want to find out, you know, what he's hiding. I can't possibly figure out why.
What's crazy though is like this is still going to go to court regardless of, you know, like Trump has already made the appeal, so either he has to continue appealing this or it it drops down to what the appeals court decided, which is you have to turn over your taxes.
Right.
So, I mean, he has to go through with the appeal, and then I don't know, what does the House do? Does it just send somebody to, you know, moon the justices or something? Like, I don't know.
Now, I did find it interesting that Weisselberg, Trump's guy, you know, basically, you know, came out and said, look, you know, the Trump Organization conducted, you know, an illegal tax scheme, which is, you know, what, and did it when Trump took office. This is kind of germane to the topic.
Man, that whole Weisselberg thing has blown me away. So first of all, we found out that he is still actually employed by the Trump Organization. I thought that he was on some kind of leave. It turns out he's still actually employed, still goes to the office, and is still paid. So that's been going on. And then today, when he testified, he was like, yeah, no, you know, this is pretty sketchy, and I don't know how long we've been doing it. It's since before my time in 1986. So this has been going on, like, since the early 80s.
Yeah, duh.
And, right? And the best part is that he's like, yeah, we had to stop in 2017 because people started looking into the company and we had to, like, you know, clean stuff up. And it's like, you think?
See, now this is, again, back in 2015, this is exactly what I said. I can't believe this guy is running for president. And I was saying this back then. I can't believe a guy who has a history of cheating people, of doing all kinds of shady stuff, of being, you know, allegedly being a con man, of, you know, bankruptcies and all of this kind of shady dealing. I can't believe he's putting himself under this kind of scrutiny. Look, being a celebrity, you know, being someone on TV, doing The Apprentice and doing that stuff, that's one level of scrutiny. Running for president, that's a whole nother ball game. That's international scrutiny. That's Russian trolls. Only we find out the Russian trolls actually, and we now know that the Russian troll farms exist. We now know Putin said, yep, they exist. And yeah, we did want them to work for Trump. Yeah, I mean, wow.
I know. And I mean, you hear Michael Cohen talk about this, and Trump didn't want to win. He never thought that he would be taken seriously. He never actually wanted to win the office. And whenever he did win, they all sort of looked around at each other and were like, oh, crap. So,
I still,
you know,
can't believe
really
anybody
was.
Takes him seriously, Sarah.
I know, right? Like, this was all a big ploy, like a marketing ploy. And it has proved to be the opposite for him. This has been a really terrible brand. It's like a brand dynamite, you know, to him and his company.
So let me ask you this, because, you know, there's that moment, you know, because, you know, someone asked me, am I surprised that he announced that he was running? And I said, I'm surprised he announced this soon that he's running, because, you know, it kind of handcuffs him a little bit on what kind of schemes he can run, what kind of games, what kind of cons. But I'm not surprised he's running because he wants vengeance. I mean, now this becomes I've got payback. I've got a list of payback. But I'm not surprised at all. Do you think, looking back, he's going to regret this, or he's regretting this on any level because of how much he's probably lost? Do you think? I guess the balance sheet is what I'm asking. Did the grift pay as much as what he lost from being exposed? I guess that's the balance is what I'm looking for.
Just from a numbers perspective, so the thing he's been doing since the presidency is raising a ton of money into a super PAC. The last filing that we saw from him, I think, was in October. And what you saw is that he raised something like $22 million, but he spent like $21 million to do it. And that was not always the case. For a long time, like especially after the presidency, he was raking in the dough. I mean, I think he's got $100 million on hand. So this is something that it feels very much like he's running, you know, just like a crap fundraising operation where he, you know, he's tapped out. And I don't know if that is the reason, you know, that he decided that's a part of the reason is he needs more money out of this. What he has been telling people, according to Maggie Haberman, is that he was trying to kind of get out in front of the Justice Department. And he knew that they were going to indict him, and he wanted to make it more difficult. So that doesn't surprise me at all. But I don't think that this is going to be a big moneymaker for him. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays. Going to be interesting to see how it plays. Another thing, something I found hysterical, and I want to get into a little bit, because Truth Social, when Truth Social, Trump's other money, supposed money scheme, when that came online, Devin Nunes left Congress to go run that. I've been expecting him to. You know, I'm still waiting for the press release that he got conned and he's suing Trump. That is coming. I almost guarantee it. But we find out that evidently, because Nunes files lots of lawsuits, he has filed a lawsuit against Esquire magazine and reporter Ryan Lizza. Evidently, it's backfired. Oh, has it backfired?
Yeah. Well, so every time he has waged these wars, it has backfired. It's been really, really bad. And I don't know. The thing is that these are really costly lawsuits. And they can really be considered frivolous lawsuits. And if a judge decides that this is a frivolous lawsuit, that means that the other side can sue you for attorney's fees. And so this is like, I don't know who is bankrolling Devin Nunes to be able to do this stuff, but it's not helpful for him. And it's costly. So I can't figure out what on earth he's thinking. But,
maybe it's his cow.
Maybe. I mean, you would think that the cow would. I think the cow's smarter at this point than actual.
And finally, on the big announcement the other day, any thoughts on how quiet it was? The big splash was kind of like, well, kind of like the red wave, more like a trickle.
A puddle. I've been trying to come up with different words to describe it. I think I've described it as being a constipated red wave, a flaccid red wave.
Oh.
I know, right? And that's the thing is you see these Republicans making the decision that they're going to spend the next 2 years doing nothing but investigating and impeaching. I'm surprised they haven't decided to impeach Hillary Clinton, even though they couldn't. But it seems like something that they would do. I'm surprised there's not going to be another Benghazi hearing.
Oh, there's going to be. They just changed the name. It's Hunter Biden. Benghazi changed his name to Hunter Biden. It's all we're going to hear about for the next 2 years. Get used to it. Let the fun begin. At least you'll have something to write about. And I hope folks will check out the website. Yeah. Rawstory.com is the website. Sarah Burris is the most incredible reporter ever. Sarah, I appreciate the time as always. Great stuff.
Yeah, no problem. Have an awesome weekend.
You as well. Thanks so much, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work. Rawstory.com is that website. Go there. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you get yours, you will find ours. Going to take a quick break. Right back. 1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people of the talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1747. That was the day that a crowd of Boston workers took British officers as hostages and held them for 3 days. The workers were outraged that fellow Bostonians had been pressed into service on British Navy ships against their will. Impressing ship crews was one of the ways the British manned their ships when there were not enough willing crew members. The seaport at Boston had become so notorious for this kind of worker kidnapping that other merchant vessels had begun to avoid the area for fear that their crews might be taken by the British Navy. Bostonians became increasingly vocal against the practice and worried about its impact on the local economy. In 1745, the local selectmen petitioned for, quote, immediate relief from impressment. They wrote that it was a matter that, quote, merely affects the liberties of the people and is a great insult upon this government. 2 years later, Commodore Charles Knowles sailed into Boston on his way to the West Indies. While he resupplied and refit his ships, some of his crew members escaped from service. To make up his diminished crew. On November 16th, Knoll ordered local workers to be rounded up as replacements. Fed up, Bostonians detained members of the British fleet, including one of Knoll's lieutenants. The Massachusetts governor, William Shirley, was able to persuade Knowles not to retaliate. He helped to facilitate an exchange, the impressed Bostonians, for the British hostages. That January, a young Samuel Adams founded the newspaper The Independent Advertiser, published to defend the rights and liberties of mankind. The paper commended the mob for standing up to impressment. Samuel Adams would go on to become a leader in the American Revolution. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
1-866-416-RICK. 1-866-416-7425. Let's go to the phones. Got Steven on line one from Baltimore. Steven, how are you today?
I'm doing great, buddy. How did you enjoy the red wave?
Oh, it was great. It kind of trickled a little bit and then kind of, you know, died out. It's kind of more like a red wine.
Yeah, it really is. You think they'd give up on Trump now in the Republican Party by this point? He's just a failure.
No, it's like any cult. You know, you're gonna take it down to the end. You bought the shirt. They bought the shirt and the hat. You know,
Republican Party.
Yeah, they bought the shirt and the hat. They got to stick with it.
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't tried starting recounts now and all that, like they did when Biden beat them.
Trust me, if like here in Pennsylvania, had Mastriano been closer, I'm sure they would have tried. I'm sure that, you know, that was in the plans. But fortunately here in this state, he got thumped. And this is where, you know, the organizing begins. I mean, you know, we've got another election in 2 years. The organizing begins to ensure that this kind of insanity isn't allowed to rear its ugly head again. And Trump has to be beaten. I'm glad he's running again. I'm glad he's put his name on the ballot so that we, the voting people, the working people of this country, can say we want somebody who cares about us. He had 4 years to prove that he cared about working people. He showed us nothing.
No, he gave all of our money away to different countries. I mean, you know, the good thing about him in lawsuits is with him being drained on lawyer fees, he might not even have that much money for a political run.
It's one of the questions I just asked. My last guest, Sarah, she, you know, in looking back, does he regret winning? Because I don't think he really wanted to win at the beginning. This was just leverage against The Apprentice. On the balance sheet, all the things that's happened, exposing all of his business practices, has really cost him on the business front. Has it been made up on the grift side? Has he been able to sell enough snake oil and MAGA hats and now MAGAGA hats that are going to be coming? I don't know. We'll have to see when the ledger's, if it's ever exposed.
Yeah, I think it will be one. I think it will be once the truth comes out that you're a fan.
I got to get one of those MAGAGA hats, though. You know, and maybe I'll use one of the MAGAGA hats, and I can find Steven, and we could MAGAGA with him. There you go. Appreciate the call, Stephen. Anytime, brother. All good stuff. And looking at where we are in this moment, though, and I'm hopeful that what Biden had accomplished in the first 2 years, and look, major accomplishments. When you look at the infrastructure bill, you look at the Inflation Reduction Act, you look at the CHIPS bill, you look at the investments that are going to be made, we're going to have time to see that stuff start to work. And for all those people who bought the red hat and all those people who are in the cult, who play these little charades, they're going to be the ones who are left on the sideline. For me, it's about how do we move forward in a way that makes lives better. All the noise aside, I don't care about. All of the screaming and the ridiculousness, don't care about. What I do care about, how do we make workers' lives better? How when families wake up tomorrow morning, do they feel secure in their health? Do they feel secure in where they are, in their jobs, in their future? Do they have opportunities? You know, we did this month-long tour across multiple states. And we didn't get the noise. We didn't get the MAGAGA nonsense. What we got were people who were looking at how do we move forward? How are you going to make my life better? Instead of this, you know, my side wins. I bought the hat. My team. When do we get back to how do we make lives better?
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.